This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Free throw, good! Good for Stroh, he's got eight. Is that going to be game, set, and match? 37-33, it's a two-possession game. Looks like the Indians are going to win this thing. Stroh's next toss, right on the money! He's got nine, and the Indians lead by five with 7 seconds to go. 4-3-2-1, game over! Indians are champions! This Gillespie crowd is going nuts.
And there you go.
Oh, man.
Doesn't get much better than that. What an atmosphere in Winona on Thursday night.
You know, T-Town, the team they played, travels very well generally. Now, they did have a girls' high school game that night, so it was understandable, but T-Town basically filled about 2.5 sections of the five on the bottom. Gillespie filled the whole bottom section and at least half of the top section. It was incredible. And boy, were they jacked. They were standing, the students were standing and jumping up and down on the stands. You could feel your internal organs vibrate. It was great. Great atmosphere. Love it.
Now, would that be the coal mine crazies?
Well,
at
the
junior high level?
Well, it could have been some
or
of the
coal mine crazies in training.
I think, you know, the AAA club.
That's right.
Not ready to be brought up,
that's
you
right,
know.
That's right.
So
got to be ready at all times.
I'm telling you, you know, you got to keep them strong down on the farm. So,
yeah, farmhands.
And it was such a great ball game. I mean,
yeah.
Overtime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know, and Gillespie came out and T-Town carries this kind of aura with its sports programs, you know. And the thing about Gillespie, I don't think they were intimidated. They just didn't play very well in the first half. But in that second half, that defense just clamped down. And T-Town was befuddled. Mm-hmm. They just had a heck of a time. And you know, once it went into overtime, I kind of felt maybe Gillespie had a little momentum. And they did. They had enough to win it. So congratulations to Gillespie and first state championship for the junior high program. And, what you know, they had an absolutely terrific get-together yesterday afternoon, and then I followed that up with the parade. But they also paid tribute to previous successful sports runs in Gillespie High School and Middle School. And it was a really, really nice ceremony. I'm glad I got a chance to attend, and I do have some audio from that. We'll make that a podcast a little bit later on today. I'm still about 2 days behind here.
Of course, you know, the Gillespie varsity girls team had those great runs in the early 90s. They got to state. Was it back-to-back years they got to state?
No, just I think 1 year they got into the Final Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just 1 year. Okay, I was thinking it was two.
Yeah,
and they finished, maybe the
I
other
finished
year.
Fourth, but I think by a total of 4 points. Ooh, you know, boy. It was just close. That close.
Those were some great teams.
Oh, those were teams that were just well, you weren't going to outrun them. And
no.
You were not, you know, they were not, they were conditioned, and you were not going to, they were not, you were not going to tire them.
Well, last week, you know, when Kyle Hirschman was in with the Journal News, we were kind of, you know, talking about 3-on-3 matchups, 2-on-2 matchups. I'll take Randy Anderson, Jody Ottersberg, and Christine Polo, and I'll take my chances.
Oh.
You can run three other out there.
Yeah, well, the Barretts, Valerie and Vanessa, and I mean, there's just a whole list of you know, and I got to sit next to Adam Tallman, who was a part of the great boys team, and yeah, just, you know, great legacy, and it's good to remember those things. It's good to remember those things, and when especially when you have success like this, but good to tie in the past.
And it was at the Pit.
And I'm telling you right now, and the people at Winona, terrific nice people, they really are, but I'm telling you what, you know, we've got some great venues around here. The state tournaments for these IESA events ought to come to our neck of the woods. I think the furthest south they've come is maybe Auburn and Divernon, and they really need to utilize some of our facilities around here. And I'm thinking, you know, because the Winona gym's an old gym, it was an old style Hoosiers kind of film gym, and I'm going, boy, what would it be like to have this state tournament in the Pit? I mean, kids would be, they would have an experience of a lifetime. They're going to have an experience of a lifetime anyway, but to play it in something like the Pit.
Who makes that possible, though?
Is well, it's the IESA. They make the, they make the decisions, and you got to remember, they run four tournaments at the same time. So members of the IESA have to be at all these tournaments. So they probably don't want to go very far from Bloomington. I can understand that. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of work, and you have to have officials from the IESA at, mm-hmm. at all these venues.
Logistics play a always. Role.
Yeah, they
it's
really
the same
do.
Thing with seeding for regionals. Sure. There's always going to be one team sure. that winds up traveling further than they think they should, but someone's got to.
Somebody has to. You're never going to get everything quote unquote equal. It's just. It doesn't work out that way. So, what a great night for Gillespie and the fans were terrific. The turnout yesterday. Not only did they have the junior high kids, but they had the high school there. High school kids.
That's good.
At the assembly.
That's sure. awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. So,
they're the coal mine crazies.
Right.
They were there. Yeah. Your official coal mine crazies were at the.
And of course, success at the junior high level doesn't guarantee success mm-hmm. at the high school level, but it's usually a pretty good indicator. 99% of the time, it's a pretty good indicator.
It's you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to be
pretty
good. Yeah. It doesn't guarantee yeah. anything about getting to state sure. or winning sure. state at the high school level, but if you're getting to state in junior high,
yeah.
you're good basketball yeah. players, and you're going to be good at the high school level.
And the thing of it is, yes, people will say, well, there's two or three different organizations that run state tournaments for junior high. Yes, that's the truth. But the fact of the matter is, you've got teams participating, and that's the good thing about it. You get used to playing in front of a big crowd. You get used to playing in front of a crowd in a tight ball game that's forced into overtime, and you have to make decisions that, one bad decision could cost you the game late in the contest.
So. I don't care for that theory and logic, though. By that, you would have to call into question basically a lot of AA state championships because sure. the Chicago Public League only got one team.
Yeah.
They're only allowed one team.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. I'm saying back in the old
back
system,
in the old
though,
system,
they were only
yeah,
allowed
yeah,
one, so
yeah,
all the AA yeah. championships oh, yeah. would have to be called into question.
Yeah, oh, sure. Without absolutely. Yeah.
Because there would have been a lot of Chicago Public League.
Finals. Yeah, you can say what you want, but the Chicago Public League is probably amongst the best basketball in the country.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the way they've got it set up now, you have multiple entries from the CPL, and that's the way it should be. I mean, you've got 90% of the schools in the mm-hmm. state in the Chicagoland area, and you're going to tell, I could never figure that out why the public league only got one school. But they wanted to make sure that they.
Well, it was all about attendance, as you know, because yes. the Chicago Public League, yeah. it's great basketball, but yeah. they don't bring any fans.
They don't bring any fans. So
they got one little section. You know, mm-hmm. you get the small towns, they fill the arena.
Yeah, it's a small town.
Evansville goes up there.
Sure.
They fill it up.
No, sure.
Chicago
sure.
Orr goes up there, and get mm-hmm. the parents.
Yeah.
A couple of siblings.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm.
that's
yeah.
about it.
Well, that's probably an advantage we have here is that it's more tied into the community. This is a community event. This is kind of like Black Diamond Days. This is kind of like a homecoming thing when there's success on the athletic field or in a gymnasium.
You said Hoosiers earlier. Shut the town down.
It basically is. Yeah, I mean, they probably had I'd hate to estimate, but there was probably 500, 600 people there mm-hmm. from Gillespie.
That's a hall up there.
That's that's a hall. And it's great student attendance. Oh, man. Loud.
One thing this sets up for is a pretty bright future for us upcoming with sports. You've got the Hillsboro bunch that, wait and see how they're going to do. Now Gillespie, Mount Olive. I mean,
Nokomis.
Yeah. Well, Terry, you've done a junior high championship
seven years in a row. I think it's seven in a row now. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Or six in a row. Well, six or seven, whatever.
And we've seen those groups of kids at the junior high mm-hmm. level. They have transferred nicely into varsity basketball.
Yes, they do. And, I guess it's about the experience. And the learning and the fact that you are exposed to travel. You are exposed to teams you don't see. You are exposed to a situation which is, pressure-packed.
A packed gym with screaming fans. I mean, that does not happen at a normal junior high game.
I'll compliment the IESA. They find these gyms that are about the perfect size to hold these tournaments so that you don't have large open spaces, much like the IHSA has, I think attendance at the girls' state tournaments are down a little bit, and really Redbird Arena is probably way too big to host it. If they'd move across the street to Illinois Wesleyan, it'd probably be perfect. But you know, that's not my decision. But they do pick good venues and the right size gymnasium. So, and by the way, Hillsboro and Mulberry Grove still playing in the eighth grade tournaments today. Mm-hmm. They're in the quarterfinal rounds of their respective tournaments. Hillsboro plays at 11:30 this morning against an undefeated team from Warrensburg Latham. And if they win, they play again at 5. If Mulberry Grove wins their game against Bourbonnais BVM, they will play at 6:30 tonight. Their game is set for 2:30 this afternoon. So, and that's at Bartonville Limestone.
There's a couple of those undefeated teams left in Hillsboro's state.
Yeah.
Tournament.
So, and Hillsboro playing at Tolono Unity Junior High. Mm-hmm. So
good luck to the
Dragons and the Mulberry Grove, and you know, we'll see what happens over the weekend. And today you've got the wrestling sectionals going on, so it's a busy time of year with postseason play at both at the junior high and high school level.
Perhaps absolutely. They'll fire the cannon in the Tolono gymnasium.
I think the fire marshal will allow that.
Well, this is the junior high, Dave. It's not the high school.
All right.
Okay, this is the junior
Starburst.
High. And the last,
they're
the last,
still learning how to fire the cannon.
And the last time I was in Tolono, I probably did a football game. It has been many, many, many moons ago, back when I was working at another station. So, it's fun. It's a fun time of year. We certainly enjoy it. And hopefully we've been able to bring some smiles to some of our listeners. So.
That's right. So congratulations to the Gillespie Indians, state champions for 3A at the 7th grade level. That was a great game. Went to overtime. But it might not have even been the best finish that we had on Thursday night. We're going to talk Litchfield-Hillsboro regional final when we come back following this break on WQSMI.
38 apiece, Litchfield and Hillsboro. 40 seconds to play. Here's Storr. Holloman for three. Got it! Got it. 19 for Holloman. 25 seconds for the game. 41-38 Toppers. Litchfield lets the clock roll. Rob Corso not calling timeout. It's come down to this. Well, here we go. Finally, Litchfield is over the limit. So the next foul will send the Toppers to the free throw line. So there's only 5.9 seconds left. Storm gets it into Kimmer. Through her hand. Steph is off the window. It's good! Oh, my goodness! The Madness has found Greenville! Hillsboro can't get it inbound. It's picked up by Stephens, and she lays it in from about 5 feet away at the buzzer. Hillsboro cannot believe it. They have been stunned here at Greenville. Holy smokes! You never know, folks. You just never know.
Just another night at the ballpark for Litchfield and Hillsboro.
Wow. If that's not the greatest Litchfield-Hillsboro game ever, boys, girls, I don't care. Please tell me what was better.
That's wild.
I don't know everyone.
Well, it has to certainly rank up there amongst the best, yes.
Wow. So was it much of a game?
Nah, you know, not much happened. Not much happened. Kind of a blowout.
Yeah.
But the what made that ending so surreal to me was the fact that Litchfield had only three team fouls with 10 seconds to go after Brockmeyer made the two free throws to cut it down to that one-point game. So for Hillsboro, they had to inbound the ball four consecutive times in that situation. That's hard to do. Just by law of averages, the percentage of having a successful inbound goes down each time, and the fourth time, obviously, ended as bad as it could end. Because even if they miss both free throws, Litchfield still will have to go the length of the floor in about 4 seconds. So that was just the worst thing that could happen happened.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things.
It's sports.
Right.
That's why we love sports. It's just crazy things.
From my vantage point, Cameron knew she was going to get fouled. Mm-hmm. You know you're getting fouled in that spot. And it looked like just human nature. You take your eyes off the ball just for a split second to see which direction that foul is coming from. And through your hands it goes.
I talked to Brett Teagan last night during halftime of the Nokomis Hillsboro game, and he says, you know, there's 30 other places in that game that we should have cashed in on.
Absolutely.
It's not that one play that lost it. He says, there's 30 other things. So, and he's right.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah, so,
I guarantee they probably didn't make all the free throws.
What a game with great rivals going at it. And I heard, it's amazing, about 10 miles north of Bloomington, I picked up the WSMI on my way home on Thursday night, so I got to listen to a lot of your game and all of Dave's broadcast and at the end, Tim, you know, they're out there shaking hands and congratulating each other and just good sportsmanship.
Oh, absolutely.
So what a game.
It was as good, really, as much as you could want from a high school basketball game, just in terms of the competition, the level of play, and the sportsmanship. Yeah. I mean, it was all on display Thursday night in Greenville.
Well, I think Kyle Hirschelman may have snapped a photo of Tessa Steffens and J.C. Holloman hugging it out after the game. Just a nice moment there.
I thought you were going to say slugging it out.
No.
I said hugging it out. Okay.
Well, there may have been some.
No, I believe they're pretty good friends.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So not to go at it.
That's
there,
good.
So,
that's
yeah.
good.
Well, Tessa said after the game that, you know, she kind of, she knows a lot of those girls. So at the beginning of the game, you know, kind of try to keep it loose, but gets to that fourth quarter, time to win.
It's yeah.
time to win.
Yeah.
Game phase. Time to win. Yeah. And Litchfield did not want Hillsborough to end their season 2 years in a row. And it would have been ending careers of the senior class. So they did not want that to happen.
So that sets up a terrific night Monday night because the Birds of Southwestern defeated Carlinville in the championship game of the Waverly Regional Tournament. So they avenged a loss at the county tournament. And the Birds got 20 points from Maddie Greeling, and they earned their way into the sectional. So Southwestern will take on a very good and quick Athens team at 6. Litchfield and Pleasant Plains at 7:30. Both those games live Monday night on WSMI FM 106 and on the internet. By the way, got information yesterday during that ceremony they had at Gillespie for the Indians. They did a little research and said that we had people from all over the country and all over the world listening on the internet.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good. You know, World Wide Web, you know.
Get out there and tell your family and friends that we've got those games on the radio and we podcast them all. So it makes it neat. So, yeah. What a finish, though. Whew, what a night of basketball.
Litchfield's only lead of the night.
Yeah, well, that's right how there. It 32 minutes. 32 on the clock.
That's exactly right.
You know, you got to have 32 on the clock. You got to play 32. There's hard nine, as Tony La Russa used to say.
Hard nine.
Yeah.
There was a poker player, I can't remember his name, but he said, as long as I have a chip and a chair, I've got a chance.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's so true. You know, no matter how improbable it may seem, things happen. You know, 99 out of 100, that game probably ends with Hillsborough, whether they make both free throws, make one, miss both, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Hillsborough probably wins at 99 out of 100. But that one time, it's always looming.
Sure, sure.
And well, that's why we love sports.
Well, and sports tells us a lot about life. We, you know, life is unpredictable, and you think you've got things lined out and ready to go, and all of a sudden, goofy things happen, and you know, you just have to go with the flow. So, but this time of year, we talk about March Madness. The madness has already begun. So.
Already begun, and of course, the boys' seeds came out for regionals last week, and Litchfield and Hillsborough are going to play.
Of course, of course. They're going to have to really work to top that. One girls regional game.
Yes, they will.
Third, as far as,
but they might do it.
They might. You never know.
Third straight season that they've opened up with each other in the postseason. Litchfield's won the last.
You know,
Hillsborough's won the last two.
We may have natural disasters happen if Hillsborough and Litchfield ever get separated in the regional.
Yes.
Because that's, you know, that wouldn't be good.
Of course, last night Hillsborough picked up a nice win over Nokomis. Terry, you were there. Dylan Miller. Back, he's been back for a little while. How did Dylan look last night?
Dylan looked fine last night, and you know, he not only he scored 17 points. Marcus Chaussee had 27 for Nokomis, and actually Marcus went over the 1,000-point mark last night. Terrific ball player. You know, just a chance to see two big guys go at
it. Rare around here.
Rare around here, but it was a pleasure to watch, and it was a close game all the way throughout. Dylan slammed one down and brought the house to its feet. And, you know, but it was a great ball game. And I think that's the first win by Hillsborough over Nokomis dating all the way back to, you know, the Cast and Toll Galitko era back in the late 90s. So it's been a while. I tell you, it just went right down to the wire. It could have gone either way. But Hillsborough comes away with the win last night. And, you know, you can say what you want, but going into the postseason, boy, it's tough to root against Nokomis as far as their opportunities in the postseason. You know, I think Hillsborough, with Dylan back, they're settling in now with Dylan back in the lineup. And it's fun to watch the big guys. You just don't see that very often.
You don't think Hillsborough wouldn't like another crack at Greenville with Dylan back?
Yeah. Well, I think they'd like to have a crack at a lot of people with Dylan back.
Well, they played him. They played him.
It was his first game back.
First game back,
right?
So. And it was a competitive game for what the score was. I mean, it was a 30-point margin of victory, but, I mean, you would have known by watching the game.
And for the most part, you know, they let the big guys bang on each other and didn't foul them out or anything. And you appreciate that aspect of the game as well. So that we got a chance to see them play. And I tell you, they both made some shots, and I don't know how in the heck they ever made them. They, you know, moving underneath the basket and they were just terrific just to watch Marcus and Dylan. So
Marcus does such a great job of just getting great position.
Great hands. Oh, I mean, he just has great hands. And I saw Marcus do something I haven't seen him do at all. You know, he actually dribbled the ball, curled around into the lane, and put up a shot. And, you know, usually Marcus grabs, turns, and shoots.
Yeah.
And, you know, just keeps it basically simple and you know, straightforward. But he put a little move on last night.
I don't know what his field goal percentage is, but it has to be like Shaq-esque.
Oh.
I mean, it has to be high.
It's got to be huge. Got to be huge.
Is he better than Shaq at the free throw line?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know.
We're all better than Shaq at the free
throw line. Is he shooting one-handed on the free throw
line? Oil, water, Shaq, and free throw line.
Shaq always he should have gone underhand like Rick Barry. Mm-hmm. What was going to happen? He's going to be worse.
Well, you know, and there's some thought about why don't professionals who have such long arms and are so tall do that? Because they would probably be a lot more accurate.
It wouldn't look cool, Terry. Well, yeah. It wouldn't look cool.
It's all about looking cool.
Style. Style's not there underhand.
To be honest, it'd look a lot cooler than what he ended up doing.
Well,
his form was terrible.
Well, it looked cooler than air balls and bricks.
Clank, clank. Right. Clang,
you broke
clank.
Three backboards tonight.
All his concentration in that one hand.
ESPN or Fox Sports 1 would have a field day. Yeah, with the granny. Yep.
Well, his field or his free throw percentage would be better, probably.
Yeah. Probably.
I tell you what, the Hillsboro-Litchfield squaring off regionals, that's going to be one heck of a matchup because the last time they met, Dylan was still out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a close matchup even with Dylan out, so...
And by the way, Hillsboro plays in the Riverton shootout this afternoon. They play a 5 o'clock game against the Hawks at Riverton. So this is a good matchup again at Riverton. Lanark against Sangamon Valley at 11, Tri-City and Plains at 12:30, Jabot-Williamsville at 2, Washington and Warrensburg-Latham at 3:30, Hillsboro-Riverton at 5, St. Joe Ogden and Athens at 6:30, and Dwight and undefeated and number one ranked Springfield Lutheran at 8.
Still undefeated.
Yeah, how about that?
Tough to do.
It's tough. It's tough to do, but...
It's like you've come this far undefeated, might as well take it the rest of the way now.
And there's always the talk, you know, well, should we go in, you know, can we go undefeated? Is there additional pressure there? I've never been on, you know, I don't know.
At high school, I don't think so much.
I don't know. The question always arises, do you play to win or play not to lose?
Yeah.
And you see that on teams with 10 losses. So
I think at the collegiate level, that's true. Like, if Kentucky gets into the Big Dance undefeated, I mean, that the
kiss
media pressure
almost.
And all that, that's going to be ridiculous. But at the high school level, hey, run the table.
Yeah.
Run
it. It's possible. It's happened several times
every
year. So I guess the record's still Lawrenceville 68, you know, back-to-back 34-0 seasons. And
it's pretty good.
And that was quite a run by Marty the Mule Simmons way back when.
We were talking about Greenville a moment ago. They actually lost last night, just their third loss of the season to Breeze Central. And of course, Breeze Central, but always
that's a
good.
Potential sectional matchup.
When I was at Greenville this week, I couldn't help but think of 2 years ago when T-Town and Breeze Central played the sectional final at Greenville. Mm-hmm. That place was packed. Mm-hmm. Awesome atmosphere. And hats off to Greenville, by the way. Yeah. Outstanding job hosting that regional all week long.
Joe Allstadt,
you can't do it better.
Good group down there. Good group in Greenville. You know, we always get treated very well and always enjoy our trips to Greenville, so no matter what the sport. Yeah.
He let me use the phone line in his office.
How about that?
Only had to go through a roll and a half of tape to get the tape down.
No, but you got the game on the air.
By God.
By God, you got the game on the air. That's what it's all about, man. Getting the game on
the
air.
That's right. We'll have the Fighting Illini on the air tomorrow from Wisconsin live at 11 o'clock here on FM 106. Illinois got a big overtime win against Michigan on Thursday night, so we'll see if they can get an even bigger win on the road at Wisconsin.
4-game winning streak.
How about that?
I read this yesterday. The first time they were 2 games over 500 in the Big Ten since 2010.
Well, with Ravonnie Rice out.
Yeah. Well, he was back against Michigan, but he didn't score.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, when I got home, I turned it on.
They tend to play better when he's not on the floor.
They do. Well, I turned it on when I got home, and they were down 8. I'm like, down 8. And then I saw, Rice is back.
Yeah.
That seems to explain it.
Yeah.
But then they come back and win the game. So good win. And that type of win, that probably put them in the tournament. Barring a collapse.
Yeah, barring like a 3-game losing streak or something like that, that probably sewed it up for them.
Because you start losing conference games on your home floor, that's not good.
Well, and you also want to make sure that you don't have to play one of the play-in games in the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
That might be enough to keep them out of that opening round. I don't know. It's going to be close.
And what also would have hurt them was how down Michigan is. They've lost Caris LeVert for the year. I think Derek Walton Jr. is out for the year as well, or out for now. So, I mean, two of Michigan's top scorers weren't playing. So, if they would have lost that game, kiss of death right there.
Man.
They lost to the New Jersey Institute of Technology earlier in the year.
And Eastern Michigan.
The New Jersey Institute of Technology. Who even knew they had a team?
The good NJIT?
Do they have a football team?
I don't know.
You sure it wasn't the intramural team?
It might have been. JIT? Might have been.
Can you come down here to Ann Arbor and get beat by 30, but we'll pay all the money? Sure.
Well, that's cool. Absolutely.
Do you mind if we win?
Hey, that's how that works in football.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember it when I was at Eastern and Roma was there.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Kansas State one year. Got shellacked, of course, but, I mean, got a nice big old six-figure check.
Sure.
And then I think went out to Hawaii the next year.
Wow.
Roughing it.
Boy.
All right. We'll take a large check. We'll go to Hawaii. Okay. So
can you see the border regions? We really want you to go to Hawaii. Do we have to go? Okay, right. I guess we'll go.
Twisting the arm.
So, someone on the board has the coach to go back with the then? Team.
Bob Spoo.
Was it Spoo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, still Spoo. Yeah.
Someone on the board has to go with the team. All
that's right.
I'll sacrifice.
I am the president of the university. I should be there to represent.
You know, the entourage was larger than the team that year.
Of course.
Going to
Hawaii.
We need to renovate our football stadium. Let's go play USC.
That's right.
Secretary, are you available? Yep, we're going to Hawaii.
You know, like that. That used to be the norm in college football.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that will change now with the playoff in effect, because these big powers, they can't really afford as many cupcakes as they used to have. They're still going to have one or two.
Yeah.
But, you know, these big dogs are going to have to start to schedule a little bit more competitively to start the year.
Put it this way. Yes, but I think, and it's going to take a few years, but I think that bracket's going to expand to eight. And once it expands to eight, I think you're going to see a dynamic change in scheduling at that point.
Yeah. You're probably right.
And when they do it to eight, it will probably be what I think there's five power conferences. It'll probably be the five power conference champions and then three at-large teams.
Yeah. I think it probably should be.
And I think that makes sense.
Yeah,
because there's really no legitimate argument for 9 and 10 when you're talking about being snubbed.
It worked. This year it worked.
Right. Yeah. But like in the NCAA tournament, like with the bubble teams or who got snubbed, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're talking about being the 67th best team. I don't care. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
69th.
69th, right?
Yeah, they're 68 now.
Can't keep track anymore. Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Dave, are we going to have the five power conferences? Aren't they threatening to split?
Well, maybe there might be. Who knows?
Need the NCAA all together.
Yeah.
Then they can have their players eat as many cheeseburgers and get as many pairs of sneakers as they want.
Yeah.
Hey, I was watching.
When Jarris got an NCAA fine when he was at Utah
for
feeding a kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I remember that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Kid had no place to live.
Right.
Had no food, virtually no clothes. Majerus bought him a burger and got fined.
The nerve. What was he thinking?
Yeah.
I was watching Fab Five before I came to work this morning, and there was a part in there where they said, I guess the Fab Five found out how much Michigan was getting off of the selling Fab Five merchandise. That one game during player introductions, they didn't even wear Michigan cards. It was just a plain.
Oh yeah, they wore plain. They wore plain T-shirts. Yeah,
plain T-shirts. Mm.
Yeah. Well, and this is the part of the ongoing discussion about, you know, the using of the athletes and do they deserve a stipend of sort for their services?
Well, and video game companies have stopped making the video games because they don't think it's right. They don't want to. They don't want.
Well, they were
going to.
They were going to lose.
Well, they were going to lose a lawsuit. Yeah. That's the only reason they stopped because they were going to lose a lawsuit. Yeah. Yeah.
I've always said they should get paid.
Yeah.
Full athletic scholarship or not. That's their job.
Yeah.
Students who are on full academic scholarships still have a job for their money.
But how do
these kids don't have a job because they have to spend all their free time with football. Sure. That
but
is their job.
But
that
how
is their
do they get
job.
Paid? Do the football players get paid more than the basketball players?
That's
get
not
paid?
For us to worry
that's
about.
That's not for us to worry about, but I would say so. I would say it would be based on percentage of revenue, you know?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Like, if you're on the swim team, you're going to get money, but not nearly as much as the football player is going to get.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we need a break, by the way.
Well, we should probably take it then. We'll come back with more in a moment here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, spring training is coming up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some early reportees have already arrived down there in Jupiter.
One thing I look forward to, not only for regional tournament week for the girls, but the days are getting longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as it's snowing outside today, you know, the thought of, like, baseball being played down in Florida is warming
to the soul.
But I'm telling
you, any day there's a Riverton shootout, we have weather.
Day.
We have weather.
Always happens, doesn't it?
No, it always happens. We have some sort of precip on the Riverton shootout.
I tell you, maybe that's why all those Cardinals players decided to report early. They wanted to beat this weather.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, sick of this. Let's just go down to Jupiter.
Who's and
down
this is there nothing now? Compared to last year.
Oh, yeah. Walk in the park.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who's down there now?
Waka and Wainwright have been warming up. Jason Hayward's been hitting off the tee. I think Yachty's down there as well. There's more. I just, off the top of my head.
Holiday's down there, I know.
Yeah, Holiday. Well, you said, I think Holiday's been there all offseason.
Yeah, stayed all offseason from what I read.
I mean, the guy works. I mean, he works.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. It'll be interesting to see. The big question mark for me is Waka. Mm-hmm. How is he? Is he healthy? Will he be? Well, he's healthy now, I'm sure. Will he be healthy?
Well, the other
are we going to start to get the Jaime Garcia effect from Walker? That's
the
what
other
I'm afraid
question
of.
Is,
every spring he's healthy. Yeah,
yeah. The other question is Wainwright.
Yeah.
I mean, is his elbow worse than we're being told?
Probably.
We're dealing with the Cardinals.
That's right. That's right.
Let's remember.
I'm telling you, every time the Cardinals say it's no big deal, it's serious.
Yeah.
When they say it's serious, it winds up being.
Oh, by the way, Jaime says he feels great.
Oh, that's good.
And
that's
good. He's ready to
three starts.
Ready to help the team.
Maybe maybe three in spring.
I'll take the under.
Over under on three.
Take the under.
We'll see.
The thing about Walkie is, and doctors do a great job repairing elbows, but it's a shoulders problem.
Yeah.
And once you get shoulder problems, sometimes they just. Don't
yeah,
go
but it's
away.
It's
not
just,
really anybody who's come back from a shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's a fracture with him. That's what I don't understand. Is normally the shoulder, you know, it's like a rotator cuff or something that you've a yeah. muscle that you've torn. His is I think a fractured clavicle.
Yeah, stress yeah. fracture like, is what it was.
Throwing so hard?
I don't know.
Well, his mechanics are goofy. I mean, because like when he pitches, his head is like off to the side really bad. Could be putting some sort of added pressure on.
Mm. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's okay.
I mean, I hope so. Jaime is a perfect example of poor mechanics. I mean, they wonder why Jaime can't stay healthy. The guy is like
twisted up.
Yeah, the torque on his body is terrible.
Well,
but man, when that guy's right though, he's nasty.
Oh, yeah.
And I find it interesting that in Major League Baseball now, every team has people that can throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a couple of teams at one time. Now everybody has them.
Did you hear the story? I could not believe it when I read this. That Major League Baseball's idea to speed up the game, did you hear this, was to shrink the strike zone? How is that going to speed the game up?
It wasn't to speed up the game. It was to create more offense. They're trying to speed up the game and create more offense at the same time, which is
well,
really
let me working. Just put my two cents in here. Before they redesigned and reasserted themselves as the rule book, every umpire had his own strike zone,
mm-hmm.
okay? Hitting was up. When these umpires called their own strike zone, okay? Why not let the umpires call their own strike zone?
Right.
Okay? It's not exactly perfectly by the book, but, players would learn the umpires. You know what kind of strikes they call. And it's about being consistent. Yeah, I don't know that you get consistency now.
There's no consistency.
I think umpiring, home plate umpiring has been awful the last several years.
I'm amazed, though, throughout Major League Baseball, how much these modern-day players just to seem to have no problem just to leave it up to the umpire to take a close strike three.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up playing baseball, swing the bat.
Yeah.
If it's close with two strikes, you've got to protect.
Yeah, yeah.
Swing away, protect, foul it off, see mm-hmm. if you can get another mm-hmm. pitch. But the Cardinals are as guilty of it anybody.
Yeah.
Matt Carpenter, I mean, he'll stand up there. Great, love Matt Carpenter. Great player, great hitter. But that dude will stand there. He'll take a strike three and look back at the umpire and say something. Protect the zone.
Yeah. Holiday's the same way. He'll swing at two pitches in the dirt, and then the third strike is, you know, it's a lot better than the first two pitches, and he'll take it. What was that for?
Yeah, but I just don't understand. I mean,
swing
protect.
The bat.
Don't
yeah.
leave it up to the umpire.
Yeah.
What was the other thing they were considering, a pitch clock?
Yeah, they worked on it with, I think,
Winter League ball. Yeah.
They're not going to institute that this year, but it's still something that may happen in the future. They're still working on it.
But to me, if they lower the strike zone, that's going to slow the game down. Even more,
because
they're not going to swing at that pitch. They're just going to sit there and they're going to take it.
The thing with a pitch clock is I'm not sure it would be all that bad for the pitchers because a lot of pitchers like to work at a sped-up pace, so I think that's going to actually help pitchers.
But the beauty of baseball is the fact there is no clock, right?
Yeah,
but you got some –
like you get to the – what if it's the bottom of the ninth inning? You got the winning run on third base in Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah. Yes, but
I don't want a 20-second pitch clock.
Yeah, but
you don't pitch until you're ready to pitch.
But some pitchers take it to the absolute ridiculous extreme. Like every time the Yankees and the Red Sox are playing,
that's right.
They've got to make it the best game.
I'm just
going to
tell you right now,
century.
It's not going to happen because Major League Baseball Players Union is not going to agree to it.
Probably so.
It's not going to happen. You can experiment all you want with the clock. It's not going to happen.
And I never like when rules go in just for the minority. Yeah. Let's just institute the pitch clock for the Yankees-Red Sox game. Because they do need it. Those are ridiculous.
Let's just make them play only 7 innings.
Yes, that's right. It'll still take 3.5 hours.
Not a lot of people like Joe West anyway, but years ago when the Yankees-Red Sox were playing an early season matchup, Joe West was like, he was telling guys, hey, speed this up. Come on. I mean, this is one game in the season.
You want to speed the game up? Say, get your butt in there. Pitcher, throw the pitch. If he's in the box.
Yeah.
If he's not in there, too bad. Strike one.
That's another thing.
You know, you do that a couple times, and you get a player ticked off at you, and you toss the player out, and he gets fined. You won't have this problem. I'm telling you right now, umpires can fix this.
Yeah.
The umpires don't need a clock. They just need to call strikes.
That's another rule they're playing around with is making the batter have at least 1 foot in the batter's box at all times.
Good.
Unless you call timeout.
Yeah. There's no reason to get out of the box once you're in there. Unless you foul, you know, if you foul a ball off your foot and need to hop around, that's fine. But you don't need to do the Skip Schumacher after every pitch of the Nomar Garciaparra. Yeah. You adjust your batting gloves for 30 seconds. We don't need that. That adds up over the course of nine innings.
Sure it does. Sure it does. Yeah.
Tell you what, the season's going to be very interesting. You got some teams that got really good. You got the Padres that have come out of nowhere. Yeah.
Well, there's a very interesting theory to the Padres' number of moves, and obviously
they're going to lose the Chargers. No.
No, no. They're hosting the All-Star game in a few years, yeah. And they got to have a star or stars to represent themselves in the All-Star game.
Got to market.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How are you going to represent your own All-Star game with guys like Andrew Kashner or Odisimer Despain? They're great players, and they could become stars, but right now—
They're not great players. Yeah. They're good players.
Here's my question. The Padres general manager, I believe, is like 34, 35, a year or two younger than I am.
Yeah.
How in the heck did he get a general manager's job?
He's smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, these general
And that's
managers,
why we're here on Saturday
right.
morning.
He's smart, we not.
Yeah.
The Padres have had some
We're
really
actually
good
operating above our pay grade right now.
Every week. The Padres have had like a Washington Redskins type of offseason almost. You know, they're going out, they're getting all the big names that have been good.
Yeah.
You know, Matt
that
Kemp.
That have been good.
Matt Kemp used to be really good.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he now? I don't know. Can he stay healthy? Perhaps. You know, Will Myers, he's a good player, and he's young.
Well, he's going to be their center fielder. That's what's going to be interesting.
That big center field.
Yeah, that
there.
Big. And Will Myers, he's never been a center fielder.
I was surprised Tampa Bay gave him up.
They may know something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because didn't he have a wrist injury last year? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that doesn't really – that affects you for a long time.
Makes you wonder. The Mark Mulder
a little
effect.
Bit of a,
yeah. Yeah, really.
A little bit of a confidence head case issue.
Could be. And he's a very good guy, likable guy, but he's a guy that's always kind of like Jay Cutler. He's got the same face during every play of every game, so it may rub some people the wrong way. It may look like, you know, he doesn't care about the game, but he actually does.
I've always get agitated when fans accuse players of not caring. Yeah,
how do you attain
care.
This level of
they don't
professionalism?
Care. Yes, that's it.
And it's like and you complain about their face.
Right. Sometimes you just play bad.
Yeah,
it's like the thought of a professional athlete not caring is ludicrous to me.
Yeah, they make a lot of money, but you know they entertain a heck of a lot of people.
Right.
Who's the hottest actor and actress in the world right now?
Right now?
I don't keep up on this.
Good question.
Let's go Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. What does he make for a movie?
$20 million.
$20-30 million.
About that.
You know, and probably Major League Baseball players are seen by 100 times more people.
Oh, yeah.
It's entertainment. You don't think they're worth it? You're darn right they're worth it. If they can get it, they're worth it.
Yeah.
No, that's
quick,
right.
Quit complaining about the price of, you know, the ball players, mate, because they entertain millions and millions and millions of people.
Plus, they're bringing in a good percentage of the revenue that the team's making. The
sure.
Making,
but
so.
To make a judgment that, oh, they don't care based on their facial expression on television is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
We need a break.
Yes, we do.
We do? Okay.
Yes, we do.
Okay. We'll be back in a moment. When it's like this outside of the month of February, it's nice to think about baseball.
Absolutely.
And we talked about spring training being underway. High school baseball will get underway before we realize it, Terry, and some good news out of Southwestern High School.
Spencer Heineman, Andrew Fry, and Blake Lawson have all signed to play with Lewis and Clark Community College.
There you go.
So they'll have a head coach, Randy Martz, at Lewis and Clark, has three very good baseball players from Southwestern who continues to have a great program. And, boy, you got to love Hanslow, Brian Hanslow.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
A heck of a coach. Love watching those teams play.
Lewis and Clark's had some pretty good Southwestern players play for
them. Oh,
they have. For a long time.
It's been a good pipeline, yes.
It has been a great pipeline, absolutely. One other local note here. The Carlinville FFA is going to have their annual FFA pork chop dinner Tuesday night before the Carlinville High School ball game. Serving starts at 5, and, of course, the varsity game starts at 7:30. So go eat some pork chops.
You'll think about the Williamsville sectional coming up on Monday night. Southwestern, 8th ends, Litchfield Plains. Live coverage here on FM 106. But we've talked about it before. You can't never count Southwestern out until they are just out.
Yeah.
I mean, this might be the most impressive regional title considering the injury that they were dealt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Well, you look back to their first game. Auburn darn near beat them. Auburn, who's had a good year, not to take anything away from Auburn. They've had, I think, 17, 18 wins this year. Dave Ferris has done a great job, got some great athletes, young kids, and they're going to be pretty good here for years to come. But Auburn. you know, got themselves back into the game, and they were relentless. And Southwestern had to hold on. Now, that was Southwestern's first game in the tournament, and sometimes when teams get a first-round bye, it's kind of slow out of the gate. But they come on and they win against Carlinville. And, you know, having lost Kelsey Rhodes certainly changed the dynamics, but it seems like they've settled in now. And when you've got somebody like Maddie Greeling out there, I think Ashlyn Ringhausen played a good game the other night. You know, they just have a lot of different contributors. And, you know.
They've got shooters.
Yeah. You know, they're not afraid to put the ball up.
In the county final, they were just off.
Yeah.
Everyone had a bad night on the same night. And it happened.
Had Southwestern, before they played Auburn, had they played anybody outside of the South Central since Kelsey went down?
Probably not.
Probably not. I think they, because everything was down the stretch, was probably conference.
Yeah, because there's not much regular season left after the county. Yeah. I don't think
there's
they probably did.
There's only 2 weeks left after that. So,
that could have had something to do with it.
So, but, you know, I agree with you, Tim, until Southwestern's actually beaten and the horn is blown and it's over. You know, you can't count them out.
You can lose after the horn.
Well, you can lose after the horn.
Okay, let me rephrase that.
You can lose after the horn as well, Terry. Come
yeah,
on
that's
now.
True.
Come on.
They did prove that last year.
Same round as they'll be in on Monday night.
Yes, yes, yes. So
against a Sangamo Conference
And don't you think that'll be brought up?
I would think. Well, I just know this. I remember talking to Maddie Greeling last year after they won the regional, and she talked about the motivation that they used from the previous year's loss to Litchfield in the regional final and how that really motivated them all year. Totally different type of circumstance the way their season ended last year, but I would think that they were just ticked off and peeved more than anything else. And
Maddie Greeling is a fun player to watch.
She really is.
She is slick.
And you said it, Terry, the other day when we were talking about it. With Kelsey Rhodes out, you just turn Maddie loose.
Yeah, Maddie, go. If you got a shot, take it.
Right.
You know? And boy, can she create things.
Oh, and when she gets into the lane and you got Ringhausen on one wing, Lobster on another wing, Maddie's
kicking out.
Take your choice. You know, both high percentage shooters. So if they're knocking down shots, they're going to be a tough out. That's the issue without Kelsey. They have to knock down shots.
Sure.
Before, with Kelsey, they could get by maybe if they were off a little bit by pounding inside.
This is just an exciting time for sports.
Oh, it is. Great time of year.
Great time.
In about a month, we'll be going into massive depression here because we're going basketballs. Thank goodness for the end of the year, right? Yeah, saddest day of the year, the day after the state basketball tournament. But, you know, thank goodness we got March Madness at the college level and, you know, Major League Baseball coming up and high school sports. So
NBA playoffs,
it's not long,
NHL playoffs.
No.
NHL playoffs.
And go to 4th of July. Come on, give me a break.
Hey, one thing we want to bring up, you mentioned some community events here. Litchfield Sports Boosters next Saturday at the Litchfield Community Center is having a dueling piano fundraiser. They used to have that $100 dance or dinner dance.
Yeah.
That's gone away with. They've spruced it up, and they're doing a dueling piano fundraiser at the community center.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And $50 will get you in.
That's Sports Boosters for Litchfield. They do a sensational job.
Yeah, they do. Well, you know, without the sports boosters of all these area towns and school districts, the athletic programs would not survive. They just wouldn't.
You're seeing it now. Some schools around here, they don't provide buses for away games on weekends, or maybe not even during the week. Yeah. Some of them,
not even during the week.
Yeah.
So, it's getting to be critical, and you know, so keep up the good work, sports boosters. You know, it's an integral part of the high school and junior high experience. And a lot of people will badmouth sports, but it's just a different classroom. Honest to God, it's just a different classroom. It really is. So you'll learn so much.
You do.
You really do. So, you know, you learn about teamwork. You learn about the fact that there are going to be days when you don't have things going your way and you still have to work hard. And you have to come to work and put your time in and do what you need to do.
And
so
that's what Litchfield did against Hillsborough on Thursday night. Like
they
missed probably 10 layups. Yeah. You know, it's easy to say, you know what, maybe it's just not our night.
Yeah.
They didn't do it, though.
No.
Didn't do it.
No. Now, this time of year,
plugging away.
Teams like that will have one game like that.
That's right.
You know, if they make a deep postseason run, you can always look back. There's one game that probably they should have lost that they didn't lose, and that helps propel them deep into the playoffs.
And, you know, the way it worked out for Litchfield, Brockmeyer was off on Thursday night.
Yeah.
For a long period, she had 5 points and 4 fouls, and she was on the bench. And Litchfield was in trouble, and the three seniors, you know, they rose up and they did what you expect great seniors to do. They led Litchfield all the way back.
Isn't that fun part of our job, though, to see seniors step up like that? And after we've watched them for so long, I mean, going all the way back to the junior high level, to see those three step up and be contributors, and you know, and it doesn't make any difference which team, which sport. It's always fun to see that,
and
because their career, you know, is basically. They're down to the very end of it here, wearing whatever particular uniform they're wearing. So.
To me, Litchfield's had a different look in their eye.
Every
time I've seen them this year opposed to years past, they just look different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hungry.
Yes.
Yes. So, I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
It's going to be a fun night. We'll have live coverage beginning about 5:50, maybe even a little bit before that. We'll see. I'll see if we can sneak it in a little bit earlier. But we're going to have both games on the air and on the Internet as well. So
I still say when that Scholastic Bowl team had their little fanfare after they won the state title, that team changed. They looked at that and they said, that should be us on the floor.
Who knows?
You never know. Never know.
I mean,
long way to go.
But together and they only had that look. Like,
I tell you, when teams make runs, there's a magical game.
There's a game.
There's always a game. Doesn't guarantee you anything, but there's always a game where you shouldn't have won. That you won. Think about Staunton in 93.
I was going to say, 93 Charleston.
One of the greatest games ever played.
The greatest game ever broadcast on this station. Oh, you know, that's just what it was. And Staunton won it from there. So
Staunton is going to state.
Oh, man. Still gives me goosebumps when I think about it.
That's right. Last true Cinderella.
Oh.
You know, I think about it every time this year when we get into postseason. There'll never be another Cinderella like that. Can't have it with the four-class system.
We knew they were good, but the rest of the state knew nothing about them.
And I remember being up there, and the talk was that the Hales-Franciscan-Cairo semifinal, that's the championship game. Yeah. That's the championship game. Those other two teams, they got no chance. They can't beat those boys. Not Tyrone Nesby,
by the way,
certainly.
If you have a computer and you can get on the IHSA website, they have a lot of the state championship games archived, and you can watch these state title games from with our local teams involved. I'm telling you, brings back great memories.
I mean, there's been some classic ball games played up there at that state tournament. Back in the old days when you had the quarterfinals on Friday and then you played the two games on Saturday.
And I miss that.
I do too.
I wish we could go back to that. I understand why they don't. You know, the four-class system is doing what it's doing, but I really miss the quarterfinal round.
That quarterfinal round was always so intense because you didn't want to be up there just for a day.
Yeah. You didn't want to.
You wanted
play
to
one
get to
get
stay
out.
The whole weekend.
Yeah.
Don't make me get on the bus and go. I don't want to go home.
I don't want to go home. Can't we play just a game, Coach? One more? No, sorry.
Gonna be a lot of fun on Monday night. We'll have live coverage just before 6 o'clock here on FM 106. The Illini on the air tomorrow. They will be at Wisconsin. Live coverage 11 o'clock here on FM 106. Anything else?
Good luck
to the wrestlers today.
Yes, good luck to the wrestlers in the sectional, and we'll have some results for you Monday morning at 7:30 Sports.
So. All right. For Tobin, Terry, David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Be careful out on the roads this weekend as the snow continues to fall.